Before we get to this week's Survivor Exit interview, I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at True Car who have some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You can also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage. And you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. You could also put some olive oil on a nice leather jacket to make it even nicer. And those are all weird tips, but here's a tip that might not be so weird. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car too. That's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. No, sir. With the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. So you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here in Reno, Nevada. Got policed on that. Nevada. I say Nevada sometimes. That's not right. Nevada. And here I am, and it is the morning after our Re-Know-It-Alls. Had a lot of fun here at the Peppermill Reno, part of Jason Somerville's big Running Up Reno. We had a really great viewing party of the episode. Biggest crowd that we've had yet at one of these Reno events. So lots of fun last night. Didn't get too crazy because I had a busy day of podcasting here. Not my first rodeo. So I have my exit interview with Napalm Natalie. Got a room service pot of coffee here and I am ready to go. I'm going to then talk to T-Bert Cooper as well, right after I get off the line with Natalie this morning. So a lot of stuff to talk about from episode number 5 of Survivor, David versus Goliath. And speaking of Davids, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis will join me in a segment that I recorded earlier this week before I left, in between a number of other podcasts that I was recording on Monday night. So stay tuned for that later on in the show. And then when I am back in Los Angeles, I am going to be talking with Bradley Kleige on the feedback show. So get your feedback questions in for Bradley. I'm very excited to have Bradley in the studio. So go ahead and get those questions in. Survivor@robhasawebsite.com or 323-282-RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. I'll also tweet out a question thread probably sometime on Friday, but I believe that there is a woman on the line and I'm so excited to talk to her. Natalie, what is this stinging sensation in my eyes right now?
I can't imagine what it could be. It certainly is a napalm, not for you, Rob. I love you.
It's tears. It's tears, Natalie. I'm crying. I'm very sad because you were so much fun to watch on our TV.
I know. I know I was definitely fun from a viewer perspective. No question about it.
Well, what other perspective is there from the perspective of the other players? It wasn't fun for them?
Well, that saddens me because this is a game that I've loved for 20 years. So how could I not love myself and what was portrayed, my narrative on the game? That was pretty surprising to me.
Okay. Well, in what way did you feel like that was different than what you experienced out there?
I feel like it encapsulated some of what I experienced out there, but it put it all together in one note. And that one note was one of over-the-top negativity.
Mm-hmm. But you were so well-received.
You know, I'm trying to understand that. I'm so happy for so many of the fans that have showed such love and support because in my thinking, they could see through the smoke screen, so to speak, and still loved me. Mm-hmm. Because that was not a very enjoyable character. Well, I guess some people did enjoy the character, but for me, I was cringing to watch it. And it was more difficult for me to watch it than for me to be out there on the island mm-hmm. and doing what I did.
Well, let's go back to that tribal council that we got to see last night. And so that Angelina had come to you and asked about that jacket, knowing now that she did not cast a vote for you to go home. Do you wish that you gave her the jacket?
Absolutely not. No, Angelina was playing a game, and I could see very, very much clearly through Angelina. She's very transparent. I found her to be fake, sneaky, mm-hmm. clever, and I felt like she had set me up. So I was running the numbers through my head as the vote was rolling. First of all, I wasn't blindsided. I was very much thinking that I might go home. And so when it came down, I wasn't completely shocked by it. And I knew that Angelina was leading it. Mm-hmm. Mike wasn't going to lead anything. He hasn't led anything since we've been out there. And Nick Pierce came over almost in a fumbling perspective, very afraid about whether or not they could survive another day. Angelina, though she had been with me the entire time, she was the common denominator, I found Angelina to tell me a lot of lies. Mm-hmm. She told me a lot of truth. Well, so she would feed me information, but I'd have to decipher what was legitimate, was ill, you know, what's not true. So, yeah, I struggled with Angelina for most of the time, but she didn't understand that I could see her. So, yeah, that night, asking for my jacket, oh, my God, you look so silly.
When you tried to get the jacket or Lyrsa's jacket, get Nick to get Lyrsa's jacket, did you feel like that if you got that jacket for Angelina that maybe it would have changed things for you?
No, I didn't. What happened with that, I was at the shelter, Mike and I, repairing the shelter from the cyclone. Angelina was cooking. Angelina came up and asked Mike and I to steal the jacket. We said, we're not taking the jacket. And when Nick came up, he said, so what's going on? And we laughed, and I said, Angelina wants Lyrsa's jacket. That's how it started. It was a joke, and we laughed about it. Then when Nick was coming to me telling me about why he should stay in the game versus Lyrsa, I said, well, Angelina wants a jacket. I never said I want a jacket, though it looked like I did. Mm-hmm. I always had a jacket.
Yeah.
Very comfortable. I could even fit the jacket. So, yeah, it kind of was portrayed a little differently. Okay, I accept that. But what I should have done was taken more time with Nick because he was a little sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about that alliance between Mike and Nick? Did you know that was going on while you were out there?
They're so silly that they were whispering in my vicinity. And that's why I knew that it might be me going home because of the whole body language thing. Nick and Lyrsa peels off in the shelter with just the two of them. I see Angelina speaking with Lyrsa at one point. Angelina comes over to explain to me what the conversation was about, but the word selection she used, I knew for a fact that it was her talking rather than Lyrsa. So I knew I was going home that night. I felt pretty confident I would go home that night.
Mm-hmm. How scary was the cyclone to go through? I guess technically it was two cyclones, right?
It was, and the cyclones were the absolute best part of my event, of my adventure out there. And I'll tell you why. The Goliaths had a meltdown.
Yes.
They did not handle the cyclone well. That worked to my favor. I'm giddy, and I'm outside walking around looking at how miraculous the cyclone was, and I'm happy because they're behind me and they're having a meltdown, from crying to screaming to everybody quitting to all kinds of stuff in the shelter, and I'm like, I love it. So while they were falling apart and breaking up fights, I was enjoying that because I knew then I could move up a notch or two in the Goliaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was very clear that I was on the bottom of the Goliaths the entire time.
Right. And you had such a warm jacket, too.
Yeah, the jacket was a last-minute fluke thing. And
I saw a secret scene where Jeremy was trying to get your jacket.
You know, the jacket ended up being a big part of my downfall.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was vested in my jacket. And I asked Nick the question, is it worth $1 million to you? I should have said to myself, is it worth $1 million to me? Because I would have gladly given it up if it was going to allow me to stay a night or two. But no, I wasn't staying. Angelina was being slick, as was Jeremy. Now, here's the thing about Jeremy. How can you be so evil? If you think that I'm going home and you're so convinced that I'm going home, why act so ugly in the final tribal council that ended up being his final tribal council in his funeral rather than mine?
Mm-hmm.
Why rub salt in a wound if you are convinced that I'm going home? I just thought his behavior was beyond the pale. And I told Dan and John post-game that I was disappointed that they didn't stand up.
Yeah.
Because I said, any time on my watch, if somebody is being mistreated at that level beyond the game, I'm going to step in because that's who I am. You guys had a moment because they were doing all this talking about how it was so terrible as we were going back to camp. Don't say it now, dude. You had an opportunity to stand up, and you didn't. So I was like, where's the backbone in the Goliath?
You and Jeremy had some issues while you were out there on the island. Why couldn't you and Jeremy get along?
Jeremy was in my face like a fly over a picnic table on 4th of July at the park. I could not get rid of that guy. I would swat and I would swat. Here's the thing. People are saying that I was confrontational, that I argued all the time, that I had to have the last word. I felt like an abused woman out there with Jeremy. I was belittled, berated. He made me fall during the first challenge, which I thought later, based on all of his actions, was that deliberate that he tried to injure me? I was defending myself against Jeremy. Why couldn't people see it from that perspective, especially the Goliath? They were out there. They saw what happened. So while I, in my mind, am defending myself against this person who is abusive in so many ways, I get labeled as the one that's being confrontational and bossy and argumentative. And I'm like, what? Did they not see this guy in my face? Look at the film. You see me start no argument with Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I'm always in the defensive mode. Jeremy, on day one, see, fear has something to do with his reaction and his whole game strategy. Day one, I had actually approached John. I said, John, get me through the first half, and I'm going to get you through the second half. I will have your back. I'm very honest. I'm authentic. I'm not going to stab you. John and I set up, and we were allies day one. I then went to Dan. Dan, I'm going to need you during the first half, and you're going to need me during the second half. I never even told Dan at that point that I had John. Dan agreed. I go to Jeremy, and I said, Jeremy, I want you and I'm not doing that. He never even heard my strategy. I said, why? Well, we're the only two blacks out here. We're going to be the first one out and the second one out, and it's not going to be me first. That was his attitude. So I couldn't win Jeremy day one. That's what he told me. Day three, I feel like, did this guy try to take me out on purpose today? And then he hears one comment from Natalia. She says she didn't like me and whatever, and because I made a suggestion, and that's all he needed. He ran with that. And when I listened back after the game to first one out, what happens in first one out? Everybody says, I think I want to work with Natalie. She seems like she'll be cool. I'm so impressed she's out here. Everybody says something nice. What does Jeremy say? He's very catty. He says, she reminds me of a little lunch counter lady that used to give me free food.
Mm-hmm.
What? Terrible read of character. Because you know what? Treated me like a lunch counter lady, but I've never served a lunch counter in my life.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to speaking of lunch. Talk to me about the eggs real quick. What ended up happening with the eggs, Natalie? We saw them go into the pot, but then we didn't see. Did you guys eat them all?
You know, I think what we did was we did it Lyris's way, which was, you know, cook most of the eggs, but left a couple of eggs for the following morning. The eggs for me were really a non-issue. I can't believe how something like that got blown up as it did, which it was just incredible. All I was trying to say is it doesn't take an act of Congress for us to figure out what to do with the damn eggs, you know. But I was also saying that what? Supplies for one fire, maybe two. We can, if we cook all the eggs tonight, we can then reserve the fire for tomorrow night when we need it rather than firing it up again in the morning to cook one egg for Lyrsa.
Yeah.
But because Lyrsa and Nick came over, Angelina and Mike, first of all, I was never going to win. He was so pissed by Jeremy being voted out. I knew I didn't have Mike. So what I should have did was cut and run from the Goliath. But I was truly the only Goliath left on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So committed to staying Goliath strong. That is my mentality. That's who I am. And so I said, I'm going to be Goliath strong and I'm going to be true to my game. That's what I committed. That was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I played an honest game, but did some more lying. And then I even wonder, what if I was out here crying about my back pain and all the stuff that was going on? Maybe if I'd shed a tear or two, these people would feel for me like you have these sappy people on the show that are getting such attention. And I thought, that would be so fake. I can't do it.
All right. Natalie, last thing.
It would help me, Rob.
Yes, it would have helped you with the other players, but maybe the audience wouldn't have loved you as much.
I agree.
But last thing, going back to Jeff Probst said that he's got you figured out now. You always have to have the last word. Natalie, is that true?
What's true about that is that I feel like they had won Jeff over as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always have to have the last word, but if there's an argument to be made and it's about me, damn it, I'm going to make that argument. And see, what they don't realize is I was in the defensive mode most of the game. See, when you're isolated, ostracized, when you don't really have anyone that's talking with you, you're being accused of all this stuff that you're not. And what do you have? You have yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was shore up my strength. I could not compete with those young people in agility, but they couldn't compete with me in mental fortitude.
Yeah.
And so that's what you saw, me strong and stubborn out there about protecting myself.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for coming on with me. Tyson wanted me to tell you that he loves you too, okay? So can't wait to catch up in a longer setting at some point. All right, Natalie, all the best.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate you.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate you too. Take care, Natalie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Napalm Natalie, and she is fired up as well this morning. And that is the Natalie call that we have come to love here on this season. And really great on the exit interview. A lot of energy. So very fun catching up with Natalie during this exit interview. All right, we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to throw it to my conversation with Jordan Kalish and David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis as we play this week's Survivor History Quiz. All right, everybody, we're going to play our This Week in Survivor History, but first we must bring in the host of This Week in Survivor History, who has forwarded me some music to introduce him, from Aaron Robertson.
3, 6, 5, sometimes 6 days to the fight, into 52 weeks, but Kalish took it all in stride. He made a game about Survivor with much diversity, cause each new week it's something's anniversary. D-Schoolish, Twish. D-Schoolish, Twish. Each question is a mystery, get a life of victory, let's go to what happened this week in Survivor History.
Go. Yes, great job, Aaron Robertson. Typically my musical collaborator, but that was all him. He did it all by himself. So last week we heard from DJ LaBelle Klein. He submitted a song. Aaron submitted one this week. We also have a mystery submission from this week that you might hear at some point in the future. So I think I'm over here.
Mystery submissions. Okay.
I think we have to have a vote on which song people want to hear every week. We're still in the beta phase.
I'm also hearing from people, no song required for this week in Survivor History.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. But look, people are writing these great songs. I think they should be heard.
All right. So, Jordan, let's not worry about all of that right now. Tell me about who you have brought with you, because I believe that this is a first this week in Survivor History.
Okay, so it is the first. It's actually it's the second time we've ever had you going against a team of two people. The last time it was, of course, Ben Driebergen and Adam Klein. And today we actually have somebody from Adam Klein's season, from Millennials versus Gen X, because
Good
we
season.
Never get enough contestants from that season. Great season. So we have Jessica Lewis, and of course, if we have Jessica Lewis, we also have David Bloomberg.
Ta-da!
Hello.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't sure when I was supposed to jump in and say anything, but that was a great intro. Thanks for that.
There you are. Hopefully, we won't be writing how Rob lost this week in Survivor History.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we don't think that's very likely.
David, do you have any rules on how to not lose this week in Survivor History?
Certainly do not, because it would be completely hypocritical, because we're about to lose.
Okay.
How does the vote out the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong rule apply to this game?
Jessica and I are about to get voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Jessica, how
Absolutely.
Have you been?
Besides being terrified regarding playing this, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm very anxious right now, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
Very anxious.
I just want you to be reassured there's no way we could be tied unless Jordan screws up the math again. That's only happened one time.
It's not even going to be close to a tie. I will fully acknowledge that I will get probably every question wrong. I'm going to call it right now. That's my prediction, David. Do you hear what I'm saying?
No, I think we're going to get at least one.
Okay.
At least one. Okay. Yes.
Well, luckily, though, look, you guys are a team. So you both are. You don't seem all that confident going into the quiz, but you're coming from two different perspectives. We have, you know, the fan and Survivor writer and podcaster, and then we also have the Survivor contestant turned Survivor podcaster. So I think coming from both of those worlds, you might be able to pull something off here.
Okay.
Well, I view it as a true David and Jessica versus Goliath battle
versus Rob Wyatt.
All right, well, we'll see how it all plays out. But first, let me thank our sponsor for this week in Survivor history. Before we get a Survivor education, let's talk about Udemy. That's the largest and most accessible online learning marketplace with the most courses, teachers, and opportunities for students everywhere around the globe. Udemy has 65,000 courses from coding to comic book art available anywhere on the website and on the app. As a person who's put together all of this podcasting, I too have used a lot of online learning resources, and so I know how valuable a tool like Udemy can be. I've taken classes on video production and different editing techniques on Udemy, and they've got a great assortment of classes applicable to whatever you might be interested in. With over 65,000 courses, Udemy is the largest space for online learning. They've got something for everybody, whether you're at home, at a desk, at the computer, or using the app on the phone. Udemy gives you access to new knowledge wherever you are. You need to check out Udemy. They've helped students all over the world improve their skills, their careers, and their lives. Jordan, they may even have different mathematics courses available.
Yes, of course. That's something that I can always use. But I thought Udemy was one of the swap tribes on David versus Goliath.
Yes, they may be. They've also got a great offer exclusive to the listeners of Rob's podcast. Go to ude.my/Rob right now to get 90% off when you sign up for classes. You will not find it a better price. So sign up for classes with our link, ude.my/Rob, and get access to life-changing classes for 90% off. Make sure you download their app on your phone so you can stream your studies wherever you are. That's at ude.my/Rob. That's ude.my/Rob. Okay, Jordan, tell us about what you have lined up for us.
All right. So as always, we have the four multiple choice questions. You are able to gain 2 points on any of these multiple choice questions if you decide not to hear the multiple choice options. Of course, if you do hear go for two and you were wrong, your opponent has a chance to steal a point. If you decide to hear the multiple choice options and you are correct, you only gain a point, but your opponent is not able to steal. So before we go into the categories, though, big week in Survivor history for Jessica. You're here on a great week because 2 years ago this week, it was the great episode where Figgy and Taylor decided to admit their love affair to you. And of course, you knew about it and you said, you think? So great episode, great anniversary here for Jessica Lewis.
I didn't even realize it was an anniversary date, but that's a good day.
Yes, and of course we were all in the room for Survivor Know-It-Alls that night as well when Adam made his big flip to get Figgy out of the game. So the categories that we are going to talk about today on this tremendous anniversary, we have Survivor Mascots, It's Your Damn Birthday, Battle of the Balut, and We Didn't Always Go to Rocks. So as the guest, David and Jessica, you guys could confer. You could choose your category first because you guys get the first question.
Jessica, I'm pretty sure we have to go with the last one.
And they don't get two guesses, right, Jordan?
No, you get one guess. You agree on an answer, and you'll give me a final answer. You guys could decide who's in charge of giving the final answer.
Okay. So Jessica, I think we have to do. We Didn't Always Go to Rocks, don't we?
I think we have to. I agree that's one we have to pick.
Okay, so we didn't always go to Rocks, and you guys were, again, not so confident going in. So nothing better to do than to start with a season from 17 years ago. We're going to go to Survivor Africa. The episode is called The Gods Are Angry from October 25th, 2001. Dr. Carl Blancione became the first and only contestant to be eliminated by a trivia tiebreaker, probably explaining why he's never been a guest on Twitch. What New York sports team was he representing on his hat the night of his boot?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me right now?
You can choose to hear. If you hear the options, Rob cannot steal, but you'll only gain 1 point if you're right. If you don't hear, choose to hear the options, Rob can steal, but you can gain 2 points if you're correct.
We gotta go with the options, I think.
All right, so we're going with the options. Jessica, do you agree?
Yes, I'm going to agree.
You, as they say in Catch Me If You Can, do you concur? Okay, A, the Yankees, B, the Mets, C, the Giants, D, the Jets.
Oh, see, in my gut, and I hate to even say I was thinking Giants before I even said Giants, but that was just what I was thinking. I don't know if it means anything.
Go with it then, because I have no idea.
Okay, so
Giants.
Giants, final answer?
Final answer.
Yes.
Right. Unfortunately, there's a reason I went into the season rooting for Dr. Carl, because he was wearing a Yankee hat, not only the night of his boot episode, he wore it a couple times throughout the season as well. So you start with 0 points. So that's the bad news. The good news, though, Rob does not get to see.
Not a surprise.
So,
well, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost said Yankees because I figured you would want to push your team. But
yes. But that also
well,
makes
you should have
like
jumped in there then. Come on. Oh, well, get it together, guys.
Well, I'm also a Jets fan,
and that was an option, too.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't Mets. I had absolutely eliminated that one.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have made it a question.
No survivor has worn a Mets hat yet. Yes.
Rob 3.0 could be the first time.
We'll see.
All right, Rob, it is your turn to choose a category. There are three remaining.
All right, I'll go with It's My Damn Birthday.
It's your damn birthday. A question specifically made for you. And we're going to go back to a season that I hold near and dear in my heart. Survivor Guatemala, surprise enemy visit from October 27th, 2005.
Why is every question on this show about Survivor Guatemala?
This is this week in Survivor Guatemala trivia. You didn't hear?
Yeah.
It's the theme this season. Surprise enemy visit from October 27th, 2005, 13 years ago this Saturday at my brother's 13th birthday. The Nakum tribe is invited to the Isha camp for a pool party in their crocodile-proof cage. Whose birthday did they celebrate at the party? And did Adam Klein and a bunch of Millennials versus Gen X contestants show up?
Yeah, I believe it was Danny Boatwright's birthday.
Danny Boatwright, is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Rob, you received 2 points. You have a 2-0 lead here against David and Jessica. So you guys you're in a little bit of a hole here, a little bit of a pickle, but...
That was easy. That was easy.
You have plenty of time to catch up. Probably
did
a little bit easier.
Did you say that was easy?
Yeah.
This is insanity. That's what this is.
And the Yankee question was easy, too, to be fair.
You know what? I told you we weren't going to get any right. Maybe that's my goal, is to just not get any right.
It comes down to this. What's easier? Remember someone's birthday from 13 years ago, or remembering what hat someone wore 17 years ago? So, David and Jessica,
birthday is easier.
You guys get to choose the next category.
So Jessica, it's either Survivor Mascots or Battle of the Balut.
Battle of the Balut, I guess. Maybe that will be good.
All right.
So they've eaten Balut a lot in Survivor history, so this could really go anywhere. But we're going to go to Survivor China. The episode's called That's Love, Baby, Make You Strong from October 25th, 2007, 11 years ago today. In the Survivor China Gross Food Eating Challenge, which member of the Fei Long tribe does James defeat in his one-on-one Balut showdown?
Oh, geez. Okay, James in his one-on-one showdown in the Balut Challenge.
You want the choices, or do you think you have an idea?
The thing about the choices, though, that if you just remember the people that are on the other tribe, that's probably who Jordan is just going to give you as the choices. As a
Rob's just trying to get you to... I think Rob just wants to steal the point.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it up to you. Do you have a guess?
Oh, no, I don't.
So would you guys like to hear the choices?
Okay, so James, who is James? Who did he go against in the Balut Challenge? You know this one? No, you don't. My husband's trying to get involved here.
We'll take a third person on the team.
Okay, let's see. Who did he... And he defeated in the Balut challenge? Because I remember people eating Balut, but I'm just trying to remember. Oh, God. This is so... Why did I agree to do this?
I think that's when about 90% of the guests ask themselves after they decide to go on the quiz, to be fair.
All right.
So you think... you want to go with the choices?
Let's go with the choices, because I'm terrible.
Okay. Was it A, Todd Herzog, B, Sharia Lloyd, C, John Robert, or D, Denise Martin?
You guessed this time, David, because I guessed last time wrong. No pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, it's only a 30-minute show, guys.
Yeah, I know. You cut the long pause, you know. I'm going to just go with Denise.
Denise Martin, you guys are correct. Good guess. I don't think you guys remember this based on how long it took to answer the question, but
no, I was just analyzing it all in my head. That's what it was. I was going through. It was like Christian, you know, going through all the math and everything. That's what I was doing.
So isn't that a clear case of scheming and plotting too much?
Okay, apparently not, because I got it right.
Yeah, that's true. You got it right.
You did get it right.
But if some of the listeners may remember that James is actually trying to throw this challenge. Denise let out a long scream before trying to put it in her mouth. She just couldn't get it down, and James eventually had to just eat it to, I think, put Denise out of her misery. So you guys gain a point. It is 2-1, Rob. And Rob, you have there's one more category left, and it's Survivor mascots. We're going to go to Survivor Pearl Islands. Mm-hmm. The episode is Me and My Snake from October 23rd, 2003. 15 years ago this past Tuesday. Which member of the Morgan tribe gave Pelican Pete its name?
Well, I know that it was Rhino that loved Pelican Pete, but I'm not sure if he was the person that came up with the branding on that. So I guess let me hear the choices.
Okay, here are the choices. Probably some good strategy there, because if you were wrong and they stole the point, it would allow David and Jessica to tie going into the final round. So we have A,
not
Savage, B, Austin, C, Rhino, D, Tawana.
So I feel like that my gut wants to say Rhino, but I'm not sure if he's necessarily the branding wizard that Andrew Savage might be. So I will go with A, Savage.
A, Savage. He's the originator of a nickname from Survivor history, the wimpy little non-leader. Unfortunately, you should have gone with your gut here, because Rhino was the one who named Pelican Pete. So you get 0 points.
That was actually one I knew also.
Yeah, you gotta pick the right categories. But you did, look, you guys have gotten a question right so far. So
right.
Rob
We've
only has a 1 point. Yes, only a 1 point lead going into the final round. And and also, by the way, I believe Brett LaBelle and Zeke are the only millennial versus Gen X contestants until you, Jessica, to score a point on This Week in Survivor history. Unfortunately, Adam Klein and David Wright were both shut out. So you're doing better than them.
Wait, what? Adam Klein didn't get a point? That shocked.
Super duper fan didn't? Wow.
He was shut out. Yeah, but that was a particularly tough week. But yes, he did not gain any points. Rob, you have a 2-1 lead going into the final round. Since David and Jessica, you have a deficit. You guys are going to go first. This final game, I'm calling Why Blank Almost Lost. David, Jessica, and Rob.
That's perfect.
David, Jessica, and Rob all know why Blank lost on any given Survivor episode, but do they know who almost lost? I have compiled 10 boots from This Week in Survivor history. I will tell you the season and the boot, and you must tell me which non-booted castaway received the most votes at that particular tribal. For example, if we were a tribal council right now and Rob received 4 votes, David received 3, and Jessica received 1, Rob would be the boot and David would be the answer to this question. If Rob received 4 votes and David and Jessica each received 2, both David and Jessica would be valid answers. You will pick a number from 1 to 10 with each corresponding to a specific boot. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, if you are incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after 4 answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker, meaning David and Jessica, you guys are still definitely alive here to potentially win this quiz. So
no we're not. No.
Oh,
I don't even know what you just said.
I don't know
that
math,
was
but
so
I know
much.
Math,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. So look, You're picking, you're going to pick a random number. I'm going to give you a season and the person voted out. You essentially have to answer with who of all the people who did not get voted out at tribal council, who received the most votes. And if there was a tie between two people, both answers are correct. So, David and Jessica, pick a number from 1 to 10.
10.
10. Okay. This is potentially the toughest one on here.
I mean, the score is what? 2 to 1, right?
One, yeah. I don't know.
David, you're being a little defeatist right now.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
we're going to Survivor Vanuatu, and this is the Lisa Kiefer boot episode in which she received 4 votes. She was
Lisa
voted out.
Mattress.
Lisa Sleeper. Yes. Lisa Kiefer.
Lisa.com/RHAP.
Lisa Kiefer, not that Lisa, it's a different Lisa, Rob. It's Lisa Kiefer from Survivor Vanuatu. She received 4 votes and was voted out. So who received the second most votes at this tribal council?
Oh my goodness. Lisa, the second most votes. This is Vanuatu? Is that what we're talking about?
Survivor Vanuatu.
Oh my God. I'm processing. Lisa received the second most votes, when she was voted out, and who?
Yes.
Oh my God! I'm trying to keep
who received the most votes besides Lisa in this tribal council? Not an easy question by any means.
Oh my word.
Let's see here, Jessica. Who were the men that were available?
The men? I'm thinking, yeah. Let's see. Oh God, the men. There was a John, but I think he was on a different tribe. Wasn't there a guy with a nickname?
What about Rory?
Rory?
Yeah.
Yes, Rory was available. Or Travis. Probably Rory. I think Rory's a better thought.
Okay. Let's make that the final answer.
Final answer. So it took a while, but you got there. Rory received 2 votes at the tribal council. You guys received a point. We have a tie. It is 2-2, Ooh. And it is Rob's turn to answer a question. And just here are the stakes here. Rob, if you are right, you don't, actually, yes, you don't clinch if you were right, but you put yourself a little bit closer. If you were wrong, and then David and Jessica were to be correct on their next answer, they would win the quiz. So this is a big big question for you, Rob. Choose a number now, actually, from 1 through 9. 10 is out.
Number 2.
We're going to Survivor Nicaragua. This is the Jill Bem Tribal Council, where she received 3 votes.
I will say that they voted for Nyanka.
Nyanka is incorrect. This was actually a vote split. Marty or Jane would have been correct answers here. The Majority Alliance put their votes on Jill and Marty, just in case one of them had played an idol. This is actually where Marty had given his idol to Sash. Marty and Jill put their votes on Jane. So, Rob, you will finish here with 2 points unless we end up going to a tiebreaker. David and Jessica, you could clinch the win here. We have a tie 2-2. Rob, per the rules of the quiz, cannot gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker, which will happen if you guys are wrong here. So here's if you get this right, you win. You're choosing a number from 1 through 10. 2 and 10 are both out. So pick a number from 1 through 10, not including 2 and 10.
So 10 was the hardest, so that means 1 must be the easiest, right?
I used a random generator. So it doesn't mean anything.
Well, let's go with 1 anyway.
Okay, we're going to go to Survivor San Juan del Sur. Kelly Wentworth received 3 votes.
Okay, so San Juan del Sur. So she received 3 votes. Kelly got 3 votes. So she wasn't voted out. So this is what we're trying to determine.
Kelly was the one who was voted out.
Oh, okay. So she was voted out.
Right.
Oh, who got the second most? I got it. All right. I'm still trying to get all the there's so many rules spinning through my head right now, and it's They're not the rules.
I'm impressed that you guys remembered both Rory and Travis, who Travis had, was voted out from that tribe on Vanuatu in the previous episode. So you did remember the two guys who did end up on that tribe. So that's pretty impressive. So
to be fair, I didn't remember Travis. So that was.
yeah. I supported Rory. So
yeah. Who else was Who else was on Baylor's tribe? Was Missy?
Well, no.
On Kelly's tribe was Baylor.
Yeah, we got it.
Missy.
Let's see. So she.
Those are the only two I remember.
Yeah. You said, who did you say?
Baylor and Missy or Muffin?
Who's Muffin?
So let's see. Julie, maybe?
Jordan, is there any time limit?
that's up to you, Rob. You're the one who has to record a podcast after this.
Mm-hmm. You know, people only have so much room on their iPhone.
Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I'm still trying to get the rules straight here.
Mm-hmm.
So she was Kelly was voted out.
Kelly was voted out.
Who was not voted out. I don't know. I remember a Julie, but I doubt that's probably the right answer.
Pretty sure Baylor and Missy were on the tribe.
No, I don't think Baylor was on. Baylor wasn't on her tribe. Missy? I'm trying to remember. No, I don't think Baylor was on her tribe. Missy could, yeah. So I don't know, but definitely not Baylor.
Definitely not Baylor.
Okay. Definitely not Baylor. So
weren't they on the tribe together at that point?
Baylor?
No more pairs, okay?
Baylor was not on the. Baylor was not on the tribe with her at that point. No.
Okay.
I don't think she was.
Missy seems to be the only one we're agreeing on then.
So Missy is your final answer?
Sure.
Yes.
Missy, final answer. There were actually two correct answers here. One of them was Baylor. The other one was Dale. This was just like Rob's Nicaragua Tribal Council. This was a 3-2-2 vote. Where Dale and Baylor were the other ones who received two votes. So, Jessica, you said definitely not Baylor. Should have said definitely yes, Baylor. And we go to a tiebreaker. So the way that the tiebreaker worked, we're tied 2-2. Rob, you are alive once again. Another close week in Twitch. So we are going to go. It is going to be David and Jessica's turn because that ends the previous round. It's basically sudden death. So if you guys are wrong and Rob is right, Rob wins. If you guys are right and Rob is wrong, Rob wins. If you match right or wrong, then we keep going. So David and Jessica, pick a number from 1 through 10. 1, 2, 10, and
how come with Will from America there was a part where pick a number from 1 to 2?
The rules change every week.
Okay.
this game has more answers. This game has more answers. So that's
At least on our podcast, the rules stay the same all season long.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
That's true.
I don't know who had the second most votes is going to capture the hearts and minds of the English-speaking audience like Bait Blake game.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to live up to the legendary status of Bait Blake or even Bait Blank from last week. But David and Jessica, choose a number. We have one is gone, two is gone, and 10 is gone.
Well, even though you say it's random, I'm still going to stick to the easy side, although we got that one wrong, and go with 3.
3. We're going to go to Survivor Thailand. Rob Zabaknik received 5 votes.
Rob Zabaknik.
Oh, my God.
How many votes did you say he got?
He got 5.
He got 5. And who else was on his team? Who was he trying...
And this is a sudden death, which insinuates that it goes quickly.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Okay. You know what? I have been accused of favoring a certain contestant from the season from that time. I think it's Shean.
Shean, final answer?
I think that's a fantastic answer.
Yes, final answer.
Final answer. You get it correct. You have a 3-2 lead. Rob, you need to be right here in order to continue.
That's not just the end of the game. I thought you said it was sudden death.
It's sudden death. So
this
I said
is not
it's
sudden now.
It's kind of sudden. Are you kidding? Why are you complaining? You're still alive. Maybe I used the wrong phrasing, but you it's like a mat. You have
and then
to match
if I get it right, we're gonna keep going on.
Yeah, we have more answers here. So
throw the challenge, Rob. Throw the challenge.
I think that people like Twitch to be sort of like, you know, a little quick, 10-minute thing, Jordan.
Hey, well, I wasn't the one who said that Savage named Pelican Pete. Savage was the one who named Pelican Pete.
All right, let's keep going.
All right, so pick a number. We have one, two, three, ten are out.
Yes. Four.
Okay, we're going to go to Survivor China. We have Sharia, who received 5 votes, who received the second most?
Jean Robert.
Jean Robert is correct. We are tied 3-3. Rob, you don't seem so happy that you got that right. David and Jessica, it is your turn.
David, you pick the numbers. You're doing a good job with this.
Okay, 5.
Okay, we're going to Blood versus Water. Kat Ederson received 5 votes.
Oh my God.
Versus Water.
Like, there should be some sort of shot clock, too.
Okay, I'm giving you 10 seconds, guys. Like, 10 seconds on the clock here. 10.
Rob has a couple other podcasts tonight.
Rob does have a couple other podcasts. Didn't get voted out? Oh my God. I'm still trying to get
Blood
this straight.
Versus Water. But
I need an answer.
Laura, maybe? I don't know. Has it been Laura?
Laura is incorrect. Unfortunately, it was not Laura. There are 2 Lauras on that season, but they're both incorrect. It was actually Vetus. Vetus did some nice work there to stay in on a tribe of all returning players where he was the only loved one there. So Kat Ederson was voted out, and that's when she said she was undateable. So Rob, if you are correct here, you finally win the quiz.
Okay.
Rob, I think we should work together to use up all 10 questions just to see what he has.
I would love to, but we're over the allotted time that I have for this week in Survivor History. All right, let's go to question number 6.
Okay, question number 6. Rob's never wanted to get a question correct more than he wants to get this one. So we're going to go to Survivor Cambodia. Monica Padilla received 3 votes.
In Survivor Cambodia, Monica Padilla received 3 votes, and it was either Kelly or Spencer. I'm going to say that it was Kelly.
Rob, after a long time, you have finally won the quiz. David and Jessica, unfortunately, you guys have to now do a podcast about yourself. So we're going to go for about another hour. We're going to talk about why you lost. Rob wins the quiz 4-3. David and Jessica, you guys did a lot better than you thought you would.
Yes, we did.
And well, that is impressive,
If it hadn't been for
and
the shot clock.
And if I hadn't screwed up on the Yankees question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. a lot of what-ifs here in this history. And I'm not even going to ask you this question. Usually I ask this, but we're sort of running out of time here. Jessica, the first survivor you followed on Twitter was Nick Myrano. David, the first survivor you followed on Twitter was Eliza Orleans.
Yes, it was.
Well, there.
All right. I do want to mention something before we go. You know,
yes.
Obviously, we all know it was, a big birthday for Rob this past weekend. But even more importantly, on Sunday, it was our 8th Facebook friendiversary, Rob.
Oh, wow. Time flies.
Very exciting.
Yes. Those first 32 years were so unfulfilling. Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for appearing on This Week in Survivor History. I'm now 41 years old. Thank you so much for being here. Of course, you listen to This Week in Survivor History with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis every week as part of the Rehab Ups Network and in our Survivor podcast feed. And I'm sure you guys will have a great conversation about the person that just lost.
That's
yes,
right. That's
we
right.
will definitely have a great conversation about them and ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Follow on Twitter @David Bloomberg and @Jessica Lewis. Is that right?
Jessica Lewis, 89.
Jessica Lewis, 89. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. The This Week in Survivor History quiz. I took on David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. First, a quick retraction. I said that you can catch David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis on the This Week in Survivor History quiz, which you could have just heard them, but then you should listen to them on Why Blank Lost. And I apologize for getting a little frustrated there. This was recorded again on Monday night in the midst of a recording a bunch of podcasts before I went out to Reno after a very long weekend. So apologies to Deese and to Jessica and to David for being a little short. But I do think some people would like a shot clock on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. I think that, you know, that might add a little juice to it. Where okay, you got 30 seconds. You know, like Final Jeopardy style, where we don't need a song. Don't start sending songs, everybody. But maybe 30 seconds might be a good sort of, just keep it moving. You know, people, you know, have other podcasts to get to, I think. Anyway, so that was our exit interview. Thanks again to Napalm Natalie for speaking with me this morning. I'm going to get ready to talk to T-Bird and then get your feedback questions in for Bradley Kleege or Kleege. I think it might be Kleege. And I'm going to talk to him on Saturday back in the studio. Really looking forward to that podcast as well. So thank you guys again for checking out all of this nonsense. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. So after all of this, you have stuck around so that you could play. I'm glad you waited. Do you know your season's end? Who was voted out? There's only one winner. It's time for Twish Twish Quiz. This week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. Can I guess all the mystery?